Welcome to another episode of the Coffee Roaster Warm Up Sessions podcast, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Today we're going to be talking about some interesting things that Sergi sent over to me today, and I was actually blown away. Was not expecting to see some news about decaf. Who likes decaf? Who even drinks decaf? Come on.
Totally. You totally just let the cat out of the bag. I was like waiting for a little segue where we'd be sipping on these opening batch brews.
You should have told me you had something cooked up.
I mean, don't you want to drink this coffee like all day, like late into the night?
Man, this is so good.
Only this coffee is not caffeinated.
I already feel jittery.
Speaking of.
Yeah. All right, let's pour some batch.
Yeah. Whoa. Pretty solid brew. That's a good one. Can't complain.
Literally can't complain.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you tasting?
Nice, like caramel, citrus, like stone fruit.
Stone fruit.
Mm-hmm. Generically speaking. Not like a peachy stone fruit. Not cherry. Mm-mm. Not even plum. Maybe like a nectarine ish.
I don't know.
There's a nice little brightness on it, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Don't want to say grape.
Yeah. I think this is a really solid, just a daily ripper. I think this is a solid batch brew coffee.
Yeah.
Just from tasting this, I'm assuming this will also do pretty good on espresso.
Espresso.
Mm-hmm. I'm getting some chocolates, a little bit of caramel as well. Very light on the stone fruit, but I think there's some apple going on.
Yeah.
And I think we have graham cracker on the.
Oh, okay. On that the makes sense. Yeah,
I can flavor taste notes.
Yeah.
This is great.
Yeah. I like it. Can't complain.
This is a Guatemalan coffee from Huehue, produced by Itail Vasquez. And nice. It's a coffee that we had last year.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't dropped yet. It'll probably roll out in this week.
Yeah.
So just keep an eye out for that. Especially if you liked it last time we had it, I think it'll probably taste better now. To be totally honest and transparent, if you're looking for like a ripper on a filter coffee, as a filter coffee, it's going to be extremely punchy, fruity. This is not the coffee you're gonna want to, and I think it's worth saying.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not gonna try to overhype this coffee,
but
for those of you who are just like, man, it's always nice to have a coffee where you have your rippers, and then you have a coffee that's like really solid. It's both familiar, but also has enough nuance to it where you're like, I can actually enjoy this, but I do not want blueberries in my face every single.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Or even coffee with cream, we'll just say.
This is
easy to put cream in. Yeah, it's not going to curdle your milk.
Yeah. So I think there's a solid place on the home brew bar for this. So I'm not too mad.
Totally.
Too upset.
Yeah, even for cafes, like this is a solid option for a rotating fun espresso. It's also not boring. Like, I don't want people to think like, oh, this is just a boring coffee.
This isn't
a dark roast. This isn't like
big
chocolatey, like kind of one dimensional coffee. Coffee still has great complexity.
Yes.
It's just like I said, it would probably be a great quote unquote tame espresso and still fun.
And I think there's space for that on every coffee bar. That's it. On top of that, though, we did just drop this morning our Ethiopian natural, and it's nice. It's interesting. What do you think about it? What comes to mind when you think about it?
I snagged that one roast secretly out of the roastery, like the last time we roasted it.
Yeah.
It's been a while, like during our dial-in. But I've been like crushing through it on and off. Mm-hmm. I served it at an event on espresso.
Yeah.
Nice. People were losing their minds.
Nice.
Yeah. It was a mind melter.
Yeah.
People absolutely loved it. Like everyone loved it. There were so many compliments on the coffee and everything. Cool. Like it's an absolutely great coffee. Cool. It's on the more brighter, more complex side. My opinion is it's like a cleaner natural. It kind of gives me the drift of a Liamaggio back in the day, except not as boozy. That coffee is pretty boozy.
Yes.
So this is not as boozy, but really deep, rich flavors, like bright, like yellow flavors. I get a lot of those. I don't remember exactly the flavor notes on it, but I think pineapple was one of them. Was pineapple on them?
We fought between pineapple and grape.
Oh, right.
And
right.
ended up going with grape. And
then tropical fruit.
White peach.
And
jasmine.
Jasmine. That's why, like, we also, like, I think guava is one that came up at one point. Stuff like that. It's not, like, this huge... It's not berries.
Yeah.
It's a whole different type of fruit complexity on it that I absolutely enjoy.
100%.
Super good.
I also enjoy. It's not... it's just a really nice balance of, like... It tastes delicate on the palate. It also has definitely solid fruit on there, more tropical fruit, more something interesting, right. And tropical. I thought that was going to be I thought that was going to come out much differently than what I said. Well, in my brain, tropical fruit like palm tropical. Trees and
like hibiscus.
Something like that. Sitting on vacation poolside.
Pina colada.
And drinking it. So that's exactly the vibes that I get. So it's it'll transport you there.
For sure.
And so, we actually need to start making videos. This just came to mind. I'm just gonna put this on the pod just for reference. Yeah. But we need to start making videos for our coffee launches of literally like them in the atmosphere.
It's like
shooting like shooting somebody sipping on this coffee like on the beach somewhere would be a good representation. But anyways, that's just for me to document an idea.
Yeah. I mean, I like your last little reel that you threw on. Pairing the rainwater noises to the drip in the pour over. Mark's getting a little creative here.
The well is a little dry, so we're trying to work on it a little bit. But it's very tropical, very interesting. I think it's actually like a really spectacular natural.
Yeah,
no joke.
It's great.
So, that being said, we also have some fun new coffees on the way already. Mm-hmm. One will be landing next week on Wednesday, which is we're gonna try to release that as soon as possible because it's a really solid coffee from Colombia. That all being said,
sweet.
Enough of that. Decaf.
Right.
So, can you tell the people what happened this week?
Let me pull up the name.
Sure.
I mean, side note, I think everyone's already remembers that I competed in Brewers. So I technically competed against this person. They're one of the owners of, where's the article? Or the founder of a Blendin Coffee Club, right? Yeah, Blendin Coffee Club. And sorry, I'm like trying to get the name because I know I'm going to probably butcher it and not pronounce it right. So my apologies. Wei Hong Zan or Zan from Blendin Coffee Club competed with a decaffeinated Tipica and from Finca Los Nogales in Colombia. We know that farm. We've talked about that farm.
Possibly.
Yeah. So that's pretty wild that it was a Tipica and it was decaf and it had flavor notes of eucalyptus, strawberry and raspberry, which is pretty nuts. It's a natural in the process. The processing used a mosto, which is the coffee I used. The Mikava had a mosto, which is they take a strand of fermentation yeast from the previous batch
toss it in to help with fermentation.
Gotcha.
And processing.
And this is a Swiss water. Sugar cane.
Not a sugar cane. This is EA, which is very similar. Sugar cane EA are very similar, but okay. There's a slight nuanced difference.
Okay.
In it, again, I'm not going to like talk about like decaf processing. I'm not like the most educated person when it comes to decaf processing, but there's a slight nuance where, whatever they add, it's like, I don't want to use the wrong word, but I should just look it up because now I don't want to make something up and be off. But, ethyl acetate. It's a solvent that they add to the beans, and then it's like acetic acid and ethanol that they add, and then it helps with it matches the caffeination and then strips it and removes it. But also, it stays in fermentation. For sugar cane. That's EA. That's
for EA.
Yeah, that's what acetic acid and ethanol.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Or ethyl acetate solvent. Mm-hmm. Sorry, folks, I'm like not the smartest person when it comes to decaf. And that's I think a very good segue to talk about the fact that a lot of the stuff that's happening within decaf coffee, we don't talk about a lot.
100%.
Like it's not a normal conversation that I have with folks behind the bar about decaf.
Yes.
It's much easier for me to talk about different processing methods and varietals, but decaf specifically, I'm like, well, this is what I know. You know, there's this method, there used to be that method.
Right.
But now we're kind of leaning towards this method because it tastes a little better.
Yes.
It's very vague. I think we're still kind of recovering from the idea of death before decaf, to be honest.
100%. Like, you know. I think that idea, that concept is still very prevalent.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, not necessarily even for bad reasons, because up until now, decaf has been pretty untasty, pretty bland, and... I actually don't know if this is the case for everyone, but I feel like I don't know, I'm so confused now. do you drink coffee because of the flavor it gives,
right,
or because of the caffeine?
Exactly.
And I think some people listening to this podcast, I bet, would say, yeah, I drink it for the caffeine, and it's a bonus that it's a flavor that I get to enjoy. And then some people are probably the opposite, where they're like, honestly, I'm just drinking because I like the flavor, and the caffeine is like, eh.
Yeah.
And that's probably more the camp that I lay in. Like, I don't need any caffeine, to be honest. Like, I've also drank so much coffee, and I drink so much coffee that I feel like my body has become immune to like a cup of coffee being a caffeine hit for me.
Exactly.
My tolerance is pretty high. So I don't really need coffee. For me, it's more of just the ritual and the process of like brewing the coffee and then drinking and enjoying it that is actually more kind of pleasing to have in the morning.
Right.
But if I were honestly to be able to choose between having a tasty coffee with no caffeine, I would choose that any day over that same tasty coffee with caffeine.
Right.
I think it would make me feel better. I can drink more of it, which the more the better. I can drink at it any time of the day.
Yeah.
I don't see any bad things about that. Where I'm sure some people who want the caffeine would be like, no, I still want that. Yeah.
That reminds me of Alex Shirota, our friend Alex, also the owner of Narrative, when he was competing. What year was this? When he was competing in barista.
Yeah.
Basically, he had this line that summed up, don't remember it word for word, but the most honest way to taste coffee is decaf.
Yeah.
Because it's like you are not taking anything from the coffee, you're just enjoying it. You're not like getting a hit from it. You're not just getting this caffeine buzz, like this energy.
Yes.
Which you can find in other things. You can get a Red Bull, you can get a tea, you can get a yerba, like you can get caffeine hits from a lot of other things. Like, I mean, do you remember when like 5-hour energy was a thing? Like, I don't see 5-hour energy around a lot, but so there's like so many ways to get a buzz from the caffeine. But when you're drinking decaf, you're literally saying like, oh, I love this flavor. And it's like the most brutally honest way to consume coffee.
Yes.
Which I think that line, like that Alex used, was super powerful and super real. Yeah. And that also, he also was serving one of the first decaf coffees that blew me away was Manhattan's El Paraiso decaf. I believe it's one of Diego's coffees. And that coffee, like, for especially for a decaf, you were like, what is this? That coffee regularly sells out on the shelves at Narrative because it's so wild and like so tasty and it's obnoxiously good.
That coffee was probably the first time in a while where I was like, oh no, like this actually is super good. And I would drink this on the regular and be completely happy and not even think that I'm missing out on something that a caffeinated version would give me. Right. Like it had complexity, it had flavor notes, it had clarity, it was roasted well, it was produced well, all the right things, just without, you know, without the caffeine, which again, I really enjoyed that. Yeah. But, you know, I think also like, you know, our decaf, that the first time that we started sourcing our decaf, I was like, okay, this actually has some intriguing stuff to it. Like it wasn't just that bready decaf that you often taste, which is probably more associated with Swiss water, process. And then we also cupped, I remember that we cupped that natural decaf from Elias and Shady at SCA Portland. Yeah. And that was also like, we cupped like a set of coffees from them at the booth. And it was like, which one is the decaf out of these? And it definitely was a challenge. Yeah. I mean, I think we still guessed the right one, but it was like, oh, this is actually like close enough for me to be actually excited about this. And I also heard, you know, Alex's, he told me all about his speech and I loved it. And that actually changed a lot of how I think about decaf because I'm like, it's actually very, 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 very valid. Yeah. So,
I mean, on top of that, to see someone win Brewers Cup, because Brewers is one, as someone who's competed in it, it's very technical. It's very technical. Like, it's less of a show than barista. It's more of like technicalities, like the amount of flavor notes you need to call. So the coffee has to match that. Yes. The accuracy of those flavor notes, that means the coffee has to be roasted really, really well. And simply, like, you source some of the craziest coffees for brewers. Insane. Because it's such a coffee forward competition, right? It's like there's not much of a, one of my errors in brewers, like, I kind of leaned into the route of maybe more or less like the barista model of like presentation where I wanted to talk about an element that was around brewing itself, you know, but to have a coffee that just like kills like that and it be a decaf and hit all the technicalities and then also have a lot of the storytelling behind it and why it's important. That's insane. So like way to go for the win. But also, I think that also challenges the stereotype of like decaf coffee is subpar to just regular coffee when it comes to flavor. So I'm personally stoked to hear that. I think it's going to happen more. Another interesting facet in the article that I read that was talking about it was there is there's word of creating a varietal that's decaffeinated. So not a process, just a varietal that's not going to have caffeine in it. I think that would be nuts.
Yeah, that would be.
That would be I mean,
yeah. In that, I mean, isn't eugenoides or doesn't that have less caffeine?
Yeah, am I wrong? Half or no? Calf.
It's exactly. A half calf.
Yeah.
And then you have Robusta, which is on the other side of Arabica that has even more caffeine. But yeah, that's a very interesting concept to start thinking about. And but also, like, even if they do happen to come up with something like that, the crazy thing with coffee is, like, you know, not only do you have to create it, whatever that looks like, but also it's gonna take another 5-6 years for it to actually give fruit that we can drink,
right?
You know what I mean? Right. So like, we're like, the stuff that people are experimenting with right now may not come and give fruit for another 6 years, but that means there's something really, you know, spectacular to look forward to. I mean, also just a side note, the fact that he won with like a Tipica decaf is also, I think, so stellar, so cool, because it's not your classic geisha, it's not a Sidra, it's not any of these crazy varietals, and it's a decaf.
It's a decaf.
Like,
exactly.
It's I love that. Just breaking every rule in the game in the playbook and still crushing.
Can I believe that El Preso decaf is a Castillo? which Castillo is a pretty good varietal. Yeah. You know what I mean? So yeah, it is completely shocking. What year was it?
Was it 2020 or 2021?
Yeah, the Canadian, was it either runner-up or one of the baristas' competitors used a decaf Geisha from La Palma El Tucan. And that kind of makes sense. Like, it's shocking that someone decaffeinated a Geisha from La Palma El Tucan, but that kind of makes sense, right? Yeah. But yeah, to hear it, to see this is like, it's to me, it's kind of mind blowing. The interesting thing is, here's a stat, and a lot of the things that I'm quoting, just to give references, from Perfect Daily Grind, PDG folks, don't laugh. But yeah, Perfect Daily Grind with the win.
What's wrong with them?
I don't know. I feel like there's so many memes and so much stuff. No, okay. Let's not go
just there. The news source. Yeah. Come on.
As long as it's accurate. Yeah. Sometimes I'm like, ugh. Anyway, by 2030, the global decaf market will be worth a US $28.86 billion. And that's also like without talking about major improvements in quality. And seeing coffee, like decaf coffee, is getting graded like in the mid 80s now, which is very shocking. That's not like not mid 80s for decaf, but mid 80s overall.
Right.
Which is absolutely like surprising. And seeing the processings being changed, like the natural EA processed, you're getting like these fruity decafs, like the competitors, like we're kind of moving out of this time where majority of decaf coffees just get roasted dark and lose acidity and complexity. Like now these coffees are being roasted more like your stereotypical, you know, coffee. So that's super exciting. So that means one, the market is going to expand. That if the market is going to expand like financially, that means socially we're going to have a new narrative around what it means to drink coffee if we continue in this route. So if the market is that big, what does that mean? People are buying more of it. Right, there's more supply and demand is growing.
Yeah,
that means the normalization of consuming coffee, not for caffeination, is gonna grow.
Right, right.
Which is absolutely exciting.
And you know, on the flip side, also the fact that people who are very sensitive to caffeine, who don't like the jitters, who you know, at the slightest taste, they're like their body just acts up. It's gonna be cool to see. You know, that group of people, which they're probably like a minority in the grand scheme of things, but now that unlocks a whole new opportunity for them to experience something that's tasty, that will also mean more people in the coffee community potentially,
which is cool. I mean, I also think, how will this impact cafes? How will this impact culturally? Like for a lot of Slavic people and especially Eastern Europeans, and for people like maybe like Northern Middle East, like like North Africa, like Turkey, having coffee at night, like in Indo, you can have coffee like post dinner, like, you know, that's normal. So like having coffee at night in the United States is not very common. Like for us growing up, having tea and coffee at night is pretty common. It was never considered decaf, especially black Ceylon tea is not decaf. So that was very, very common to have coffee and desserts into like 10 p.m., like post 10 p.m., you know, right before bedtime, basically. So if the market is going to grow with decaf, if we're going to see more people compete with decaf, and this idea of normalizing drinking coffee for flavor, will that create more cafes? Like, will there be these cafes that are actually not open at 6 a.m., but open at 6 p.m. to midnight? Could that potentially shift the market?
Honestly, I actually love that idea. I am that gets me. I did not think about that, but that makes me very happy to even consider that is an option. Personally, I would go out in the evening for a coffee if there was like coffees that are very stellar decaf and has a great ambiance, is a great place to hang out. I mean, that's incredible. But I wonder if there's like this may be stretching it, but I wonder if there's like a cultural thing that might trigger, because what you're also seeing is a lot of this new fad of like mocktails and people actually kind of leaving drinking less alcohol and more moving to like a mocktail. Like I don't know. Is that in town here that they opened up a bar that's all?
I think there was. I don't remember if it still exists.
Maybe I heard something.
Yeah.
But seeing that that's becoming more of a popular thing where people are just going out to have a tasty beverage.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have any alcohol in it.
Right.
So almost like maybe that's the same thing, but this time we're just talking about caffeine.
Right.
But you can go out, have a very awesome experience. It's fun.
Yeah.
But you're not getting hit with any of the other stuff. So
exactly.
Yeah. That actually sounds freaking cool.
Yeah, that'd be pretty wild.
Yeah.
I would be really impressed with that. Like, I'd be super stoked on that.
Interesting.
So we'll see. But I like this move. I feel bad for folks who tattooed Death Before Decaf with the Grim Reaper.
It's almost as bad as getting your ex-girlfriend's name tattooed on you. It's you just clung to that too. You know,
I mean, sure, you'll remember Stacy for the rest of your life. That's fine. Like, yeah, but at the end of the day,
you'll remember Stacy's mom for the rest of your life.
But you tattooed Stacy, but you should. You could make a little edit and just cross out and add Stacy's mom.
Right.
You know what I mean? But no, pretty wild. Like, I think this is gonna be pretty cool for the industry.
Cool. Yeah. That's fun. That's I'm pretty pumped for him. I'm curious how he's gonna perform on the world stage. When's that happening? Do you know?
It's in Chicago.
Chicago.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
I believe so. Yeah.
Is that at SCA?
No. It's, I think, World of Coffee is in. No, I don't know. I don't remember. Yeah.
Okay.
Didn't get that far. Yeah. Didn't have to dive into those things
for sure. Well, yeah. I'm curious. I'm rooting for him and. It would be sweet to see a decaf win on the world stage. That'd be bonkers.
That'd be awesome.
Drop a comment down below to tell us, what do you think about decaf? Would you drink decaf? Is this something you would prefer over caffeinated coffee if it tasted as good as caffeinated coffee? But yeah, I'm looking forward to the future. I'm pumped. And I think that's a wrap for this episode on decaf. And remember, as we always say, reflect what's good.